You're listening to episode 6 of the Book Thingo podcast, featuring lively discussions about romance books, culture, and rock stars. This episode, titled How Can It Be Work, features an interview with Shona Husk and was recorded at the 2015 Australian Romance Readers Convention in Canberra. Book Thingo would like to acknowledge the Ngunnawal people as the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which this episode was recorded. We acknowledge the contribution they make to our shared literary heritage.
Welcome to the Book Thingo podcast, talking about books we love, especially romance. Kill a fairy fast on the Book Thingo podcast.
Welcome back to the Book Thingo podcast. I'm Kat Mayo from bookthingo.com.au, an Aussie blog for romance readers. Thanks for tuning in to the show. We've had an amazing response since we launched the podcast, and we appreciate all the support and encouragement you've sent us. Our guest for this episode is Australian author Shona Husk. I caught up with Shona earlier this year at the Australian Romance Readers Conference, where we bonded over chocolate dessert and parenting anecdotes. I discovered Shona's books through her Shadowlands series, which starts with The Goblin King. At the time of this interview, Shona was just about to launch her new adult rock star romance series, Face the Music. Now, I love this series, not only because it's set in Australia, but because it does some very different things to other rock star romances. For one, the band members aren't mega celebrities. They've had a successful debut album and are dealing with second album jitters. The other thing I love about this series is that the characters have diverse backgrounds and family situations, and those are important challenges that they have to deal with in the books. You can find information on Shona Husk's books, as well as other books and authors mentioned in this episode, by going to bookthingo.com.au/podcast and clicking on episode number 6. And of course, the audio for this podcast was produced by the wonderful Rudy Bremer.
Today we have Shona Husk with us, talking about books, romance, and more books. So tell us a little bit about how you came to write romance.
I started writing romance when I was on maternity leave, which seems to be a very common story. And I came to romance by way of fantasy. So I grew up reading a lot of fantasy novels. And for some reason, love was always sacrificed to save the world, which was kind of annoying.
I love fantasy as a child as well. And that was my exact frustration, which is that love always either ended up in disaster or heartbreak.
Yep.
Or, you know, a noble sacrifice where they either split up or one of them dies.
Yep, every time. So as much as I love the world building and all of that, it was just like, there's just a little something missing. So when I was 25, I discovered romance novels and fantasy romance novels. So that was wonderful.
Now, you've been writing fantasy romance for a while, but you're writing a series called Face the Music, which is a young adult romance featuring rock stars.
Yes.
And it'll be published by Escape. So this book was recommended by Kylie Scott, Australia's queen of rock and roll romance. So that's a big call. Are you excited?
I am very excited. It's set in Fremantle, Western Australia, which is where I'm from. And Fremantle has a great live local music scene. So Eskimo Joe and Birds of Tokyo, some of my favourite bands, sort of came out of there. There's a lot of pubs, a lot of local bands. They're really supportive. And I actually wrote Vampire Rock Stars way back when I first started writing. So coming back around to it, you know, it was really quite nice. And the new adult genre is still full of sort of that dark, angsty style that I generally write anyway.
So this is new adult, not young adult?
It's new adult. They're in their early 20s.
Okay, so that's definitely new adult.
Yeah, definitely new adult.
Okay, and the first one is Out of Rhythm, which is a female-female romance novella, which is so unusual. Was that kind of scary to dip into that particular niche?
No, it wasn't. And I'd sort of been seeing all these billionaire male rock stars having all the fun, and I just went, no. I want to do something different with this. As much as I love, you know, rock stars, I want to see a girl and I want to see, you know, what it's like to be struggling, you know, because only such a small percentage of bands make it huge, really, much like authors. But other people make a living. And Australian bands can often make a living even if they don't make it big out of Australia. So I sort of wanted to have a look at that angle. And it just was something that I wanted to write.
So have you been in a band?
No, I haven't been in a band.
Have you always wanted to be in a band?
No, like I play the violin very, very badly. probably shouldn't say I played at all, really. That's how badly. But I love music, and I did date a drummer once briefly in high school.
That's all right. That's enough experience in rock band romance. So Out of Place is the one, is the next book. So the first full-length book.
Yes.
But sort of the second release in that series. And yes. What's that one about?
That's about the frontman, so Ed, and he's got a case of second album jitters. So, you know, one successful album, and now it's like, oh my God, what if the next one isn't as good? So he's getting all freaked out about that, which of course is sort of creative block, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and then, you know, there's parental pressure to, you know, you could always just get a real job.
Do you find that a bit meta as a writer, though, because the creative sort of obstacles might be quite similar?
Actually, I did. As I was writing it, I was just going, oh, this is such a parallel to writing. And then I'm like, or am I just feeding the writing into this? And then I was talking to other people and it's like, no, it's like exactly the same. So I was like, oh, this is really interesting to explore it from, you know, the rock star angle as opposed to, you know, what writers go through. But it is very similar, like the creative process, the pressure to do better the next time, the external pressure from get a real job or, you know, that kind of stuff is really there.
And I think it's not just limited to rock stars or to writers. It's something that other people experience when they are either in at work or in personal lives, where you achieve something that is so stellar that you don't know whether you can do anything that good again.
Oh, definitely. That pressure to perform exists. Well, I'm an ex-civil engineer, so, you know, that pressure is there. But I think with creatives, it's also that idea that a creative job isn't really a job because you have fun while you're doing it,
right.
So how can it be work? And I think that perception is from people who are looking at it from the outside just going, oh, and they don't realise all the hard work that goes on behind the scenes. So I have a lot of that drama in there, like the writing, the trying to get stuff together. And
what's the difference between writing your characters, and I'm not talking about the paranormal element so much, but the actual characters and the ages that they're in between the adult romances and this the new adult romances?
Some of my characters in the paranormals would have been classified as new adult because they were in their early 20s. Some of them were older.
But are there concerns similar? Or are there particular concerns that you focus on more deeply in if you know that you're writing for the new adult market?
For the new adult market, I'm really conscious of this is people who are making sort of their first big life decisions. So they've left school. They're supposed to be getting a career or at least working out what they're doing. They're possibly looking for a long-term relationship, not necessarily the one, but they're starting to sort of maybe think that way. It's, am I ready to move out of home? Do I have enough money to move out of home? My car is clapped out. I should get a new car. If I do that, I can't move out of home.
Yeah.
You know, it's these things that, well, I went through in my 20s. You know, I remember going to the supermarket with a calculator and going, how much can we afford to buy this week?
Yeah. But do you think we've kind of, I don't know whether it's people are just more honest about the fact that even when you're in your 30s, you kind of freak out about these things and you think, when am I going to be an adult? Like, is it going to be this milestone year? Is it going to be when I turn 41? I'm like 50. I still feel like maybe I should just be 20 because
yeah.
I don't really feel like what 50-year-olds
should look,
feel like.
I've got a mortgage and two kids and I'm just like, I still don't feel particularly grown up. I'm sure it's going to happen one day, but I always remember talking to my grandmother and she would have been in her 70s and I would have been about 14 and she goes, I might look old, but in my heart, I'm still like 21. And I was like, oh, you're so old. And now I'm like, I totally get it.
Yeah. I know there was a time when you couldn't find older heroines very much in romance. And I do wonder whether the appeal of the younger heroine is because most of us don't actually feel like we've left our 20s yet in our hearts.
This is true. But now I've got friends who are getting divorced. I'm going to be 40 next year. And I've gone through the stage now where my friends are all getting married and having kids and now friends are getting divorced and doing all this kind of stuff and then they're hitting the dating scene again and it's almost like they're going through those same dramas. They have to get another house. They've separated with their partner. It's like the same thing cycling around. So I don't know, after new adult, maybe this older heroine in her 40s rediscovering herself or even discovering how kids are now at high school, I have more freedom to be myself. It's going to be something that becomes, I think, more popular.
And I think we're seeing that a lot more now. And there's a greater diversity of ages in heroines as well.
Yes.
What about the heroes? The heroes still tend to be a bit older than the heroines, I think.
Yes, I would agree with that. And maybe that's a hangover from the historicals where heroes were
possibly
older.
Yeah.
And even now, I guess you see a lot of new adults still where the hero is older and more established, as opposed to them both being the same sort of age. And
yeah. Well, I do think it's part of the fantasy of, if you're going to write a book set in a world where the woman is victorious at the end, you might as well give her riches as well as romance. Because why not just let her win in everything,
yeah,
not just this one little thing in her life? But the new adult romance is your sort of foray into a new subgenre.
Yes.
What we've known you for so far is your paranormal romance. So The Darkling Lord will have come out, and then it'll be quickly followed by books 5 and 6, which is really kind of exciting for readers. For you, it's probably very stressful at the moment.
This year has ended up to be quite busy and stressful.
Will there be any more books?
Not in that series.
So this six will be the final.
Book six is the final series, or is the final book in the series. It was always planned to be the end, because then I've sort of done the drama in Anwen and the New King, and then I've done the fallout in Our World.
Do you have an appetite for a spin-off, or you want to just put that down for a little while and concentrate on this new subject?
I do plot an end to my series. So I always know, you know, the Goblin series had 3 books,
yeah,
that was it. The fairies, I knew there was going to be 3 books for the Anwen drama, 3 books for the drama in Our World. That was it.
Yeah.
So I don't sort of think of spin-off series and all that and have a never-ending. That's
right.
It's just not the way my brain works.
And is that going to be similar for Shadowlands?
That's the Shadowlands Goblin series had the 3 books.
Oh, sorry.
And that was it.
I've got it confused, Shadowlands and Goblins, because they're...
Yes.
They have the same words in them.
Sorry.
You also write collaboratively with Denise Rossetti and Mel Teshko.
Yes.
What's it like working in collaboration?
That is a lot of fun, because writing, you're often just by yourself at the computer, but to be able to share a world with other writers and build it together, I actually have been really enjoying it. And that is a series where pretty much, you know, as long as people are buying them, we have got stories to tell.
And how did you come up with this idea of writing a book together?
That was kind of me. I kind of said, I've got this cool idea. Do you want to come and play?
But you weren't busy enough. You had to find other projects.
I know. Yeah, I know. But it was just such a cool idea, and it was such a big world that, you know, other authors could come and play. And, you know, there's a ship with 5,000 people. You're not going to step on each other's toes. You know, you can have stuff happening and you're not all going to be in the same space. So that has actually been really good.
Do you have to have similar writing styles, or are you all quite different?
I think we're all quite different with our writing styles. But the one thing the reviews have been saying, because I do occasionally read reviews, has been saying how well that they knit together, and that even though everybody's got a different style, it's all bringing something different to the world.
And do you have a safe word where if you're arguing too much, like you just invoke this word and everybody has to stop and chill out?
We've never argued. We like get on Skype to discuss the art for the next 3 books, and we're like, yep, okay, well, I might do something like this, and it's sorted. And then we have Dropbox, where we just have masses and masses and masses of information. We tried to do it by email, but the email folder just like exploded.
It's a bit disappointing, because now we'll never get these stories where the books are really great and people love it, and then you get the expose behind the scenes.
No, I guess we've known each other for a while as well, so we're friends, and it was fun.
How many more books are you planning to write?
We've just turned in books 7, 8, and 9. We need to get together to work out 10, 11, 12, and we need to pitch them. And
you'll just keep writing as long as readers will read books?
Right. The situation we're in at the moment, though, is we actually have reached the planet by the end of book 9. Bit of a spoiler there. comes out in, I think people knew we were going to reach the planet. But again, you know, setting up the colony, that's going to be fun.
So that's going to be a lot of world building. Do you keep a central repository of your world?
We do, and we create new sheets for each trilogy as well, because 3 books are released on the same day.
How much time does that take in terms of your planning process? Does it take up half your time and then half of the time you write, or?
No.
See, you make it sound so easy. I'm sure there's a million authors that are going, I
just hate you now. Yeah. I know. I think at the start we did spend a lot of time talking, but it wasn't all in one block of time. It was emails here and there and a couple of Skype chats. But once we'd sort of established the rules and the very basic sketchy outline, now it is just a few emails to go, yeah, that works. That I don't think that counteracts with anything we've already got. Check all our documents. Yeah. And it's really quite easy.
Does it help then that there are three of you checking for errors in the world building?
I think so, yeah. And pulling up any inconsistencies and that kind of stuff. Because otherwise it'd be like, oh, no, I think we did something different when... Yeah, you've got to be really careful of that.
And do you write do you write the scenes collaboratively? Do you do one scene each? Do you do one character each?
No, we basically work out what our arc is for the trilogy. And then we mix it up so one person isn't always writing the start or the end.
Okay.
And then we just say, well, this is basically what my hero-heroine is and what I will do in my little bit of the arc. Because we break the arc up into what will happen in each book. And then we just run away with it.
Okay.
And then we just sort of read each other's work and go, okay. Oh, yeah, that'll work. And
So you write the book first and then you piece it together? You don't sort of write in parallel and then check in parallel?
Yeah, because we've already talked about what the arc is going to be, we know where the...
intersections are?
Well, we sort of know, because we know the arc, we know sort of what the main plot point is going to be for each of the book, because then each book has its own separate romance as well as the overall arc. So in the first book, we had the evil lieutenant who was making life miserable, and in the second arc, shouldn't I? We had the micrometeoroid strike, which threw everybody into chaos. So it was sort of like I got to do this initial strike, somebody was working on the rescue, and then somebody did the fallout from that. So, you know, you break it up into pieces.
But it's discrete enough that you can independently work until you have to put it all together.
Yeah, but there's still communication that happens during the writing process. But it doesn't feel like hard work.
And wine. Lots of wine.
It just doesn't feel like hard work, yeah. Though.
But that's great, because if you're releasing two or three books under your own name, or like your standard, your books that you write by yourself,
yeah.
To have sort of other people that you can talk to, even if it's a different series, must be refreshing.
It is. It's really nice, and, you know, Denise and Mel are great people as well. And it is nice to build a series without doing all the work yourself.
Right.
Because there's no way I could have written 9 books, like, within the 18 months.
Well, I'm shocked at the number of books you have coming out this year. It's massive.
Yeah. 2015 was looking really quiet.
So you decided to just, like, change it all up.
And I was just going to have the 3 fairy books and maybe a novella. And then I'd sort of had this gut instinct before I went to New Zealand to go, no. That little lesbian rock star novella, you need to send it to Kate because she really wants something like that. So I went, oh, okay, I'll just clean it up and send it off. You know, and you don't think anything of it.
Yeah.
And then she's like, yeah. And the rest of the boys. And I was just like, okay. So
that was kind of my, like, you know, relaxation thing.
So, and then, yeah, I just agreed to some crazy deadlines because, you know, that way we could build the series and get them out. And I know readers like to have books coming out in the series soon so they're not waiting forever.
So the third title is going to be... Have you started the third title?
Third title is submitted.
You're just too efficient. It's really mind-boggling. But we're so glad that you took the risk.
Yes, I am so happy as well. And I've been really happy with what Escape has done as well, because that way, like, all 4 books will be out this year, which is... wonderful. That's the end of the series, people. It's 4 books. It's all out this year. Then you can chill.
And no, because we'll be waiting for the next series. But hopefully you'll have a quieter year, because then you can work on that book and you don't have to worry about the other books that are also coming out.
Well, yeah. So now I've just got a plan for 2016 and what's coming out there.
Yeah, and then it's looking quiet, so maybe just start another series. What the heck?
Do I have any series?
I'm sure.
I've actually got standalones planned next, series.
But that'll be interesting because so far you've only really done series.
Most of them have been series. I've done a couple of standalones in Saved by the Trickster was standalone and an Elemental Tale. So really they've only been novellas that have been standalone.
Right.
So, having a standalone novel will be...
It's a little bit tougher when you do fantasy or paranormal because it feels like you've done so much work building the world that you kind of want to use it for a while to make the most of what you've created.
Well, not only that, but as you're creating, they're like, oh, that would be awesome. Oh, that would make a great hero. Yes.
I mean, definitely, I know for readers, when you read a standalone fantasy or paranormal, I mean, I don't normally mind them, but really, you want to kind of ask the author, please, can you write more of this? If not because you want the character to get a romance, but just because there are so many interesting things in the world that you can never quite flesh out in a standalone novel because you have to choose what to focus on.
Yeah, and I've actually had somebody say, how come you haven't done any more books in the Saved by the Trickster world? I'm just like...
Readers, email Shona about that book. Well, good luck for the rest of the year and your books coming out this year. And also for your plans for next year, we're looking forward to seeing what else you've got up your sleeve.
I hope you enjoyed hearing from Shona Husk. All the books mentioned in this episode are listed in the show notes, which you can find by going to bookthingo.com.au/podcast and clicking on episode 6. Huge thanks and chocolate offerings to our amazing audio producer, Rudy Bremer, who makes our podcasts sound tops. If you have any feedback or suggestions, please send an email to podcast@bookthingo.com.au. I'd love to hear from you because, let's face it, it feels a bit like talking to a brick wall from where I'm sitting at the moment. And speaking of feedback, I wanted to thank everyone who sent us their comments on episodes 1 to 5 via the blog, via email and via social media. Aztec Lady left a comment on the blog to say she was having an absolute blast listening to our launch episodes. On Twitter, Nicolette Hugo let us know she was enjoying listening to the podcast. Maggie Kenny tweeted that episode 3 featuring Julia Quinn was absolutely delightful. Claudia GC said she'd love some interviews with Aussie bloggers, which is great because the next episode will feature an Australian book blogger and I'm hoping to chat with more bloggers going forward. We also got comments on our podcast jingle. Ainsley Payton described it as awesome in a Flight of the Conchords way. Katrin thinks the singer sounds like Ben Folds and that it's very earwormy. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can help support us by leaving a review on iTunes or just telling all your reader friends to give us a try. You can also visit bookthingo.com.au to check out reviews and opinions from a bunch of readers from down under, including me. And finally, you can also find me at the Heart to Heart podcast, which is the official podcast for Destiny Romance. And I think that about wraps up this episode. Make sure you check back in a few weeks for the next podcast, which will be available on iTunes, Stitcher, and now SoundCloud as well. That episode will feature Australian book blogger Tez Miller. Until then, I hope you have a fabulous month of reading.